to 70 is distinctly possible. Northern Ireland, a dry enough start, but the rain moves up from the south, and then we have the conversion of rain to snow as the rain becomes more intense, again above about 250, 300 metres or so, and a cold day, as you can well imagine. And finally, for the day, to Scotland. Well, here, dry throughout across the northern parts of Scotland, but the rain eventually moves in from the south by around about sort of early part of the afternoon, and again, a conversion of rain to snow on the higher ground of the southern uplands and north of the central belt. Please take care. I wish you a very peaceful night. Good night.
Phil, thanks very much indeed. And there's more weather first thing during news briefing at 5:30, and then regular weather during the Today programme. Well, now we continue our book of the week, The Almost Nearly Perfect People, The Truth About the Nordic Miracle. Michael Booth leaves his adopted homeland of Denmark to embark on the next stage of his personal odyssey through Scandinavia in a quest to discover the secrets of its success. Tonight, he arrives in Finland to experience what lies at the heart of that country's social and political life. The reader is Gunnar Kothari.
Now is probably a good time to make my confession about Finland. I think the Finns are fantastic. I can't get enough of them. I'd be perfectly happy for the Finns to rule the world. If you ask me, they should just change the word fantastic to fintastic. I'm not the only one enthralled to the home of the Moomins, monosyllabic racing car drivers, and Nokia. The Finnish school system draws educationalists from around the world keen to learn its secrets. According to international rankings, the Finns have the best education system in the world. They have the third most competitive economy, too, and the highest per capita income in Western Europe. And it's the only economy in the Eurozone to retain its AAA rating from those pesky ratings agencies. What's more, the Finns are perceived to be the least corrupt people on Earth. They are solid, dependable. They also have a Sahara-dry sense of humour, freighted with a heavily understated irony. So, I am a cheerleader for all things Finn. But I can't ignore that there is another side. It is all too easy to form a picture of the Finns as an unhappy, often paralytically drunk hybrid of repressed Swedish-style conformism and Russian barbarity, as many do. But persevere, I implore you. Get on a plane and go to Helsinki. The city is like a breath of fresh air, not least because the air is so very fresh. Its centre is small, you could walk across it in 20 minutes, but spacious and refreshingly non-commercial. Its streets are lined with linden trees, and there is a cosy harbour front, not unlike Oslo's, with islets and ferries, but lent a little frisson of eastern exoticism by the onion dome of an Orthodox church and the splendid, dazzlingly white Tsarist cathedral nearby. Helsinki is dotted with listening posts that broadcast poems when you press a button, just in case you're out and about and find yourself in need of a couplet. It is early evening, and I am walking alone through one of the shabbier parts of central Helsinki. The tenements here are built from porridgey concrete and are occupied at street level by Thai massage parlours, sex shops, and peep shows. Every Nordic capital has a nicely contained, almost stagey, vice quarter like this. I never usually feel threatened when I visit these parts of town, but on this occasion there is a fist of anxiety in the pit of my stomach, for I am about to submit to something truly terrible, of my own volition. If I leave Helsinki without going through with this, my Finnish experience will be incomplete. I am talking, of course, of the sauna. It is their prime meeting place, a venue for physical relaxation with family and friends of both genders, at the same time, naked. Like a pub or a village hall, but naked and hot. Members of the Finnish Parliament meet once a week in a sauna. I am assuming they also have a conventional parliamentary chamber. And there has been a tradition that the president invites foreign leaders to a sauna evening when they visit the country. The Finns will tell you that their saunas are the hottest in the world. They mock the tepid temperatures of Swedish saunas. Anything under 80 degrees centigrade is a warm room, they will tell you. The Finns even have a sauna world championship, in which the sole requirement is to see who can sit for longest at the highest temperature. Last year, a competitor died when the sauna he was competing in was turned up to 110 degrees centigrade. He was Russian. So here goes. I'm heading for the oldest wood-fired sauna in Helsinki, built in 1929. I walk brusquely in through the front door, trying to look like the kind of fellow who knows his way around a sauna. Inside the time-worn, wood-panelled changing room, I'm greeted by a gaggle of saggy, white, wrinkled backsides. At least, I notice with relief, there are no women, which would have presented a whole other range of challenges. I find a hidden corner and begin to disrobe. A sauna-goer walks past me, his towel tossed jauntily over his shoulder. I follow him, my towel over my shoulder. Walking naked in public, I feel immediately cripplingly self-conscious. We enter the shower room, and I am horrified to see that at one end of the room, a man lies naked on a massage table where he is being beaten with a birch switch by a woman. She is clothed and carries on without looking up, but, well, for heaven's sake. I shower. At the far end of the shower room, a door opens and a large gust of steam billows out. A man carrying a towel enters. Aha! I catch the door as it is closing and enter the sauna. The air is hot and wet and smells pleasantly of wood smoke without being smoky. Through thick steam I can make out two men sitting as far away from each other as possible, in silence. Where should I sit? I take a wooden pallet and sit in the middle of the sauna, precisely equidistant from the other men. Not wanting to appear the feeble foreigner, I choose a mid-range step, one step higher than the other two occupants, and hotter. I sit down. Within 3 seconds, my face is burning. Trickles of sweat start to tickle all over my body. After about a minute, my lips are red raw, and each breath burns my lungs. Time passes very, very slowly. No one speaks. I grow resigned to my nakedness, almost at ease with it. I'm finding it all strangely compulsive. The men leave and soon after return. Of course, they have been for a cold shower. Now I go out, stand beneath the showerhead, brace myself, turn the handle to full cold, and am drenched in an icy waterfall more refreshing, invigorating, and, strangely, soothing than anything I have ever experienced. It is wonderful. Back in the sauna, I head straight for the top step. It is scorchingly, bakingly hot. My head begins to swim. Increasingly short of breath and, I fear, close to cardiac arrest, I totter out, shower, dress, and emerge into the brisk dusk of Helsinki, feeling cleaner than I have ever felt, fiercely thirsty, and exhausted. Against all the odds, I had enjoyed my visit. The Finnish sauna experience is characterized as much by the communal silence as it is by the heat. This may be the root of the sauna's appeal to the Finns. They are a famously non-verbal race. Foreigners in Finland are struck by the taciturnity of the males, wrote Finnish expat Richard D. Lewis. Low temperatures necessitate outdoor succinctness. One does not dally on the street at 20 degrees below freezing. A Finnish acquaintance told me this story, which he said perfectly sums up the Finns' attitude towards the normal conventions of human interaction. He and his brother-in-law were driving in a blizzard in the countryside when their car broke down. They waited for half an hour before another car finally passed. It stopped, and the driver got out to help them. He peered under the bonnet and managed to get their car started for them all in silence. There was a nod or two of acknowledgement, but my friend swears not a single word was exchanged. The man drove off. My friend said, "Wow, we were lucky there. Wonder who he was." To which his brother-in-law answered, "Oh, that was Juha. We went to school together." When asked in a survey a few years ago to select 8 adjectives to describe themselves, the Finns chose honest, slow, reliable, true, shy, direct, reserved, and punctual. Hardly descriptive of a confident, thrusting nation, is it? I decided to take a trip through the real Finland in the hope of forming a more nuanced picture of this mysterious land and its people. I travelled down the spine of the country and found that Finland is almost entirely forest. The trains themselves were paragons of modernity. The tickets were cheap, with allocated seats, and mostly empty. Best of all, unlike on Danish trains, which can sometimes feel like you're in a Hogarth cartoon that's come to life, what with all the drinking, snogging, shouting and screaming, absolutely nobody speaks. I was less impressed by the hotels, or rather by their curtains. This may sound nitpicky, but in the land of the midnight sun, you would have thought they would invest in thicker drapes. And then there were the midges and mosquitoes. Venture anywhere in the Finnish countryside during summer, and you will instantly become enveloped in a cloud of insects, like Charlie Brown's friend Pigpen. Though they boasted wonderfully scenic settings, the provincial lakeside towns were mostly charmless, featuring the same nondescript assortment of modern concrete blocks and H&M stores. As far as I could make out, there was nothing edible outside of Helsinki either. The dining options were quite execrable. Either pizza or reindeer. Always reindeer. Despite this dispiriting glimpse of life in the real Finland, I remain a huge fan. And I'm not the only one. Helsinki has just enjoyed a stint as World Design Capital. The Finnish economy is more export-orientated than ever before, and Finland is recovering faster from the economic crisis of 2008 than virtually all the other Eurozone countries. One major advantage Finland has in terms of its labour market is that it is arguably the most gender-equal society in the world. Finnish women were the first in Europe to get the vote in 1906. It is customary for half of Parliament to be female, and the country has had both female prime ministers and female presidents. In 2011, over 60% of Finnish university graduates were women. The prominent role of women in society is one of the many ways in which, superficially, Finnish society appears to resemble its neighbouring Scandinavian lands. But there are lingering doubts about whether Finland really is Scandinavian, or even Nordic, for that matter. Russia's political and cultural influence is considerable, and in more recent years, Finland has increasingly looked across the Baltic to Estonia and towards the EU for trade, comradeship, and cheap alcohol. It will be interesting to see what effect the rise of the nationalistic True Finn Party will have on Finland's relationship with its neighbours in the coming years. The party wants to sever ties with Europe. It also has a clear fellowship with the right-wing parties in Norway, Sweden and Denmark, and no great affection for Russia, so perhaps Finland will embrace its Nordicness to a greater extent in the future. Some people do think of themselves as Scandinavian, some don't, and aspire to be European, says Aito Koski, the foreign editor of Finland's leading broadsheet newspaper, Helsingin Sanomat. I want to be both. I want to represent the Nordic model and the Northern European way of doing things. Scandinavia is a good group to be included with.
Good night. Anna Cawthery was reading The Almost Nearly Perfect People, The Truth About the Nordic Miracle by Michael Booth. The book was abridged by Richard Hamilton and produced by Gemma Jenkins. And tomorrow at the same time, Michael journeys to Sweden, the country which he believes has done more than any other to define how the rest of the world sees Scandinavia. Well, we've got the shipping forecast coming up in just a moment, taking us there as usual, sailing by. And so now the shipping forecast, issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 0015 on Friday the 14th of February. There are warnings of gales in all areas except Bailey and Fair Isle. The general synopsis at 1800, low Fair Isle 963, expected 150 miles northeast of Faroes 976 by 1800 Friday. Low 550 miles west of Fitzroy 966, expected Southern Ireland 957 by same time. The area forecasts for the next 24 hours. Viking, north at Sira. Southerly, backing southeasterly later, 7 to severe gale 9, decreasing 5 for a time. Showers, moderate or good. South at Sira, southerly 5 to 7, backing southeasterly 7 to severe gale 9. Showers, moderate or good. 40s, Cromarty, Forth, Tyne, Dogger, Fisher, German Bight.